Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I am Dory.
Back at it again, everybody.
Hello!
Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're all staying free of the Ronas. Or I hope you have a mild case of the Ronas, if you have it. I guess what I'm saying is, everybody's going to get it eventually. You might as well be vaccinated and not go into a hospital. Thank you.
I really hope all of our listeners are vaccinated.
And if you're listening and you're not vaccinated, now is the time to get vaccinated and then pretend there was never a time when you weren't. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I got to assume we're such a science-friendly program that everyone listening loves science and medical jargon.
I'm hoping that
we're practically doctors here.
Yeah. I feel like that is probably the case.
And if not, they have some bizarre medical exemption like Djokovic.
I feel like everyone I know either has COVID or has COVID symptoms but is testing negative and is like, I think I have COVID, but I'm not testing positive. Yeah.
Because everyone forgot what a cold is. Because everybody was so careful last year that nobody really got sick. Because everyone wore masks, didn't leave any, go anywhere, really.
It was kind of wild to have a baby who did not get sick for over a year.
Yep. Now it's every other week.
Yep.
He picks up something new at the, you know, whatever thing he's near. Doesn't matter if it's wild. A playground.
I'm just hoping that he's developing, like, a really strong immune system.
I don't know. He does seem like maybe he will. I don't, you know, I was just thinking about like, oh, he's kind of like a baby about everything, but he's two.
I actually feel like he handles sickness pretty well for a 2-year-old.
He does. He also handles like injury pretty well.
Yeah.
Like the other day, he hurt his elbow against he hit his elbow against the wall of the house, the stucco, real hard. And he was like, very upset for a second. And then when I told him it wasn't bleeding, he's like, that no need Band-Aid. Knee has Band-Aid.
He was upset about his knee for a few minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I forget where'd that happen?
Greeny time.
Oh, yeah. He just went down.
Mm-hmm. He was running to get Bo's greeny. And just, like, tripped over himself.
You know, now he asks me in the bathtub not to wash his hands.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, not wash hands. I was like, do you want me to wash your hair? Yeah, but not hands.
Why?
I was like, okay, how about I wash your arms, your legs, your butt, your tummy, back of your neck, your ears, your hair. But not my hands. What is this? But not hands, yeah.
What do you think that's about?
I think he's just annoyed by the hand washing process at dinner.
Oh.
And he's like, I've already covered this.
I mean,
he likes to fluctuate the temperature wildly that we pour over his head. So he grabs a pitcher and I grab a pitcher and he puts on the coldest water possible that comes out of the faucet, and he dumps it over his head, and he thinks it's so funny. And then I pour the warm water back over his head. And then he always wants the last water poured over his head to just be cold, no warm. I don't know. He really likes to feel the extremes.
Yeah, which is why we're getting him... We're trying to figure out if he is a sensory seeker.
I don't know what that means still, but sure.
So,
I mean, what does that mean, really? Say seek sensory input? Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't he?
Well, I think he seeks it more than a lot of other kids.
Interesting.
And like, how can we best sort of meet his sensory needs?
Well, I think playing sink or float, that's where he dips his hand in the freezing cold pool.
Yeah.
He loves that.
Supposedly, I was reading about sensory seekers, and like some people were talking about how they have their kids like pushing really heavy things Like the kids love it. And I feel like that's something that he, like, he loves that kind of stuff. Like anything big and heavy, you know?
He ran out into the driveway this afternoon when you guys came back from the park and he goes, did he say I or did he say Henry? I think he said I. He goes, I have an idea. And he starts running. Come on, Dita. And he goes, play sink or float. This is my idea. And so he had the idea of playing sink or float, which is you drop two things into water and see if it sinks or floats.
Which he learned from Miss Rachel.
Yes. So he's been into that episode as of late. So I am constantly skimming things out of the pool. Matchbox, no, Hot Wheels cars, golf balls.
Grapefruits.
Grapefruits. The grapefruit he loves because the grapefruit to him sinks and floats because it's heavy enough to drop down under the water and then come back up to the top. Yeah, he threw his golf club in there today.
Yeah.
It sank. Well, because his bat doesn't sink.
Oh, sure. Well, his bat's plastic.
His bat floats.
Yeah.
His golf club sinks.
Right.
It's very exciting stuff over here.
That is exciting. That is very exciting.
Yeah, and what else has he been doing?
He's suddenly very into punctuation.
I think it's because he feels as though he has mastered the letters.
And he's like looking for other things.
Yes, he's like, I now know this.
So he makes me read. It's like I'm dictating to Siri. Like it I have takes, to. It takes five times as long.
So long that I'm grateful when he kicks me out of the bedroom.
So I have to like read each. I have to read a sentence, point to the words as I'm reading them, and then I have to say period. And if I don't say the period at the end, he gets mad.
Yeah.
But then he also, there's also another book where he likes to point out all of the punctuation because it has a lot of different punctuation. It has question marks, commas, dashes, semicolons.
Yeah. All I know is I walked by when he was going down for his nap after he'd kicked me out. Well, actually made me stay outside. Dita, stay outside. I went in to get my golf glove or something off the table and I just heard him go, semicolon. I was like, wow, okay.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's also very funny to like explain punctuation to someone who like, A, I think doesn't totally understand the concept of right. a sentence.
Right.
Or like know how to read and, but is like fascinated by the symbols.
Yeah.
So.
He's really into numbers right now in a way that is annoying.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Like his current favorite activity is watching the clock.
Yes, literally watching the clock.
And waiting for the numbers to change and then excitedly announcing that it is now 4:25.
And then be 4:26.
Yeah. at zero little zero soon. 0:00. It's like not for a half hour. Then it's like he might just stand there and watch the clock for that long.
Yeah.
He gets really mad when something besides the clock is up on Alexa.
Yeah, like the weather.
He wants the numbers to come back.
Mm-hmm.
He loves counting more than any person I've ever, like more than Rain Man, I think. So I'm probably going to start teaching him how to count a deck of cards.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think get him in early, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
If you think about it. If you had learned to count cards from the age of 3.
Yeah.
You too would be banned from multiple Vegas hotels.
We'll be the first person banned before he turns 21.
Oh my God, we should take him. But yeah, no, he's really into numbers. I don't know what that means. Is it OCD? I mean, it seems like he's always had a little light OCD.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But we're also not doctors. We're not diagnosing him.
I'm a doctor of love.
Oh, I see.
And I love diagnosing people.
Yeah.
That's literally the happiest I've ever seen him look.
We just got a, he's with Holly at the park. We just got a picture of him, I would say grinning.
Yep.
On the swing.
I'm surprised he's not watching the traffic.
Well, he was.
Oh. Oh my God. When did we go for a 5 mile walk?
That was.
Was that Saturday?
No, it was Thursday.
Oh, yeah, Thursday.
Because Hillary was out.
Right, so I played golf in the morning, and then I told Dory that I would take him for the morning so she could get some work done. And what's funny is Henry's like, I'm trying to think of the, he like imprints on a person for the day.
Yes.
And then that person is the person for the day, and the other person shan't be around. So that day he imprinted on me. And he wanted to go for a walk. And like Dory was like, let's pack a snack for him. And I was thinking, well, all right. But then she's like, I put three bars in. And then like filled one container with the Trader Joe's equivalent of goldfish and peanut butter crackers. And then Dory was like, grabbed a chickpea thing. I don't know what it was. And I was like, no, he's got enough. If he needs that, then I've been gone too long. Oh,
the puffs.
Yeah. I was like, if he needs that, I've been gone too long. And then he ate all of his snack. And then I had to order Starbucks, and we walked to the Starbucks, and he ate three egg bites. And then when I got back, I looked at my Apple Watch, which had informed me that I had just walked 5 miles. I think we were gone for like 2 hours.
You were gone for quite some time.
Oh, also, while on the walk, I found the handle.
This is so funny.
I found he had been given this water cup from The Mandalorian with Baby Yoda on it. Like, someone got it at Disneyland for him. And it had this rubber handle that you're able to remove. And it had been gone for a little while.
Yeah, we had, like, lost it. I don't know how long it had been gone.
But I was walking our neighborhood. And, you know, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 5 blocks away.
But on a very typical Mama and Henry walk route.
Yes. But like 5 blocks away on the street, not on the street, on the sidewalk, I looked down and I saw it. And I was like, that is 100% the handle to Henry's water thing.
That's true.
And I took a picture of it, and then I said, Henry, look, what's that? He goes, handle. You found handle, which his way of saying that he found it,
right? Because you is him
to him.
Yes.
Still not sure how to correct that. It'll just happen, I guess.
Yeah, he occasionally will get it right.
Yeah. Like when he has an idea.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny is like I had said that to him the day before.
Yeah.
I was like, I have an idea, Henry. Let's try. What did I say? Oh, he was like, because he wanted to put more golf balls down the ramp, the putting ramp I have. And I was like, I have an idea. What if we tried to put some of your tiny cars on here? And he was like, whoa. Like, Dita, go get cars. I was like, I don't know where they are. You get them. He's like, okay. And he ran, got the cars, and then we put them down the ramp, and he was slightly excited. And then the next day, he had an idea to throw them in the water. Sink or swim. Sink or float? Whatever.
Sink or float.
All right. That does it for us. Thanks so much for joining us. If you only listen to this portion of the podcast, and you know who you are, thanks for being here. Now go. Go about your business. Everybody else, you can email us, 413-461-BABY. You can No, you call us at that number. Email us, DoryMatt@gmail, MattandDory@gmail.
You can text us at 413-461-BABY.
There you go. So get in on it. You have any thoughts about sensory overload for children or whatever the hell it's called? Let us know. We'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Yellow, we're back.
Hello.
Hope you're all doing the same as you were earlier, and nothing has really changed. Unless you were doing bad, then I hope it's a little bit better.
That's what I was going to say. Well,
I'm here to pontificate.
Oh, thank you. All right, well, let's hear from some listeners. This first email is from Liz, who says, "Hey, Matt and Dor."
Hi.
That's a reference to Forever 35.
Well, why wouldn't you say doormat? That's better.
Because on Forever 35, they call us cat and door.
So I know, but like I'm saying doormat because doormat is
no,
a thing.
I get it. But that would not be a Forever 35 reference.
Oh, so Matt and Door, meaning like you're rhyming the Matt and the cat?
Yes.
All right, I'm back on board.
Okay, thank you. Long time, second time? Y'all helped me out a while ago with some advice for my husband who is stuck on Red Dead. I'm another listener who isn't currently trying to have babies, though I've been listening since the beginning, ever since Matt's guest spots on Gilmore Guys. I have two dear sets of friends who are in separate friend groups who are going through the process of trying to conceive. To clarify, both are cis-hetero couples, and I'm closest to the female identifying partners in each couple. I know one of the couples is in the phase of science assistance, and the other is at least in the phase of fertility issues suck. I know y'all have talked about this before on the podcast, but I think it's been a minute. Can you speak to your experience as to what was most helpful for you to receive from others, especially when it comes to support from those who could not directly relate to your experience? Love to you both, and Henry and Beau. Liz in 3,000-ish square feet in DC. No hot dogs consumed yet in 2022, but one hot dog resting in my lap. And she attached a picture of her very cute dog.
I really wish she had just had like a perfectly made hot dog, like with mustard, perfectly placed. And it was just, she set a picture just of that on her lap. Like, how are you doing? How are you not eating that delicious looking hot dog? Okay. Here we are. We're going to answer your question. Our experiences and what was most helpful to receive from others. Patience? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think just like offering support without any expectation that they will take you up on it, kind of like saying, you know, I'm always here. If you want to talk, you can say, I'm just, you know, checking in to see how you're doing. You don't have to respond. If you, you know, if you know they're going through a procedure, you could send them food or little care package. But I think just kind of like being there and also like not asking too many questions, like asking like, how did that go? Like, I don't know. I always felt like people wanted like constant updates on like every little.
Well, I mean, when you broadcast your life every week like we do, I suppose people who don't even listen to the podcast but are in our lives expect us to do the podcast for them every week.
Yeah, and I'm like, just listen to the podcast.
And it's just like, well, you know, here, do you want me to really answer you right now in a very short manner, or do you want the full-length explanation? If so, you could tune in.
Yeah.
And then we, of course, would... ask them to download it on their podcatcher and click on the links to us, to our advertisers. Thank you.
Yeah. I think just, you know, being there for them, checking in, is always.
But also, like, I will say this. So I don't know if our experience is unique, because we do have a podcast that we were like not wanting to go into any detail about anything. Because maybe that people, maybe somebody needs that outlet.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true.
So, thusly, we have no actual helpful information for you. Just be present and acknowledge that you're present for them.
Yeah, or I mean, you know, sending a card saying I'm thinking of you. Like, I think
that's too much.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Text.
All right. A text. Sure.
Thanks.
Okay. But I'd be curious to hear from other listeners what they found helpful too. All right. This next email is from Sarah, who says, I'm writing to respond to the caller at last week asking about CoQ10. Warning, purely anecdotal, potentially eye-rolling story ahead. After 3 years of treatment and our fourth failed IUI in September of 2019, we decided to move forward with IVF in January 2020. We figured the break would be good mentally and we'd start fresh in the new year. During this time, I started taking CoQ10 for the hell of it. I think I read about it online somewhere and decided to give it a try. My eggs seemed to be okay, but I figured it couldn't hurt. Best case scenario, it helped with the IVF. Worst case scenario, it just improved my own personal health. Fast forward to December 2019, and I go to my baseline ultrasound appointment to prepare for IVF. We got the shock of our life to discover that I was pregnant spontaneously. Now, I'm not saying CoQ10 helped me get pregnant, but it was literally the only change I made. Diet, sleep, stress level were all unchanged. The only other supplement I took was the prenatal I'd been taking for 3 years. So who knows? Maybe the stars aligned. Maybe the 30th try was the charm. Maybe it was actually the pumpkin pie conceived around Thanksgiving. But I'm firmly in the worth a try camp when it comes to CoQ10 and fertility. Sarah,
who is in... Your anecdotal evidence tells us it certainly didn't hurt.
Yeah. 2,500 square feet in St. Louis, two adults and one 17-month-old who may or may not have been conceived with help from CoQ10. Sure. Recently had my first Costco hot dog inspired 100% by this show. I can see the appeal, but don't think I need another.
That's how you feel now. Now try to write that sentence while you're at Costco. You won't be able to.
Wow.
You'll be like, I need one for some reason.
I see. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, as Matt said, it seems like it definitely did not hurt. So Congratulations.
CoQ10, everybody else zero.
Matt, do you want to take this next email?
Hi, Matt and Dory. From Andrea. I am replying in response to Sarah, the listener who wrote in about a spouse that has a variable work schedule with a lot of travel on episode 360. So glad she wrote in and asked this. I am similarly shooed. She didn't write that. I changed the wording. It can feel lonely and overwhelming. My husband owns his own marketing business, which involves him traveling with one of his clients to major events, traveling to other clients who are not located near where we live. And I guess that he travels for 80% of the year. Like Sarah's husband, his work schedule is not consistent or predictable. He's been doing it for 3.5 years. First 2 years were hard on my daughter, who was 10 then, and me, and it was a rough adjustment. I cannot say we're 100% adjusted yet, but things feel much better now. The things that have helped make it easier is, due to our non-traditional schedule, we decided to homeschool our daughter. This allows us the flexibility to either accompany my husband occasionally when he travels or spend time with him when he is actually home. I've worked hard to shift my mindset. My husband is not leaving the house because he wants to. It's all part of the work that he is incredibly lucky to love. And we are incredibly lucky that it sustains us. Like Matt and Dory said, some of the things we have solved by throwing money at it. When my husband is gone for a month or more at a time, we pay for a house cleaner. This helps me feel like all responsibilities don't fall on me and allows me to be a better parent while solo parenting. Part of having a spouse who travels involves him missing being part of our daily routine. This is probably the biggest problem initially. When he would come home from being away, he struggled to easily jump back into the family because he had missed out on the things we do, why we do them, things that have changed, etc. We've learned to solve this problem with a lot of clear communication. Also, he has taken on set household and family roles when he is home. We always know that he's in charge of the dishes, walking the dog, changing the cat litter, putting our daughter to bed, etc. every time he's home. This allows for some predictability for everyone. This allows me breaks because all the things are my responsibility when he's not here. To clarify, clear communication. My husband and I use a lot of phone apps. The most useful are Google Calendar, Google Keep, where we share lists and notes, etc. FaceTime. This helps us feel like my husband's more part of the fam of home, and that we are getting to experience some of what he does while away, and a commitment to not miss things important to our daughter, even if he's present by Zoom. Hope some of this is helpful for Sarah or any other listeners in similar situations. Looking forward to hearing other suggestions. That's Andrew in the Northern Catskill Mountains in New York State, 2,000 square feet, one husband sometimes, one daughter, one dog, one cat, zero hot dogs, 2022, two each. For the husband and daughter. What do you think about that?
I mean,
my thought was the same. Well,
okay. Wow. I mean, I relate to some of this for sure.
Imagine if we had had Henry while I was doing After Trek.
I've thought about that. I've like actually thought about that and been like, because we had done a transfer that didn't work.
Yeah.
And like, if that had worked, I mean,
well, you would have been nauseous.
I don't know. It just would have been, yeah. Or if we'd had a baby during then,
I was home like, you know, 2 to 6 hours a night for 4 nights a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was helpful.
It was a lot of good time.
Yep. So much good
time.
And
then when we record this podcast at 8 o'clock in
the morning,
on Wednesdays.
Oh, good times.
It's Tuesday, I would have to talk to the show. Thursday, I would have to look at the script. Friday, I was on a plane.
And also, you were still on a schedule with work where like you never knew what time you were getting home.
Well, I mean, that's always the case in TV.
Yeah, but...
Except it was
really bad, I feel like.
There was no estimation. Yeah. It wasn't like there was a list of work to do in the writer's room, and then we would know when it was done, we could go home, whereas that's when we're shooting, we know we have to do this, that, and that.
Right.
And the end.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a lot.
That's a lot of travel. 80% of the year is like...
A lot of time.
Bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, feel like marketing is, I don't know. Is that something you have to be present for? I guess you're in the Catskills.
They're in the Catskills, so I assume they're not really close to much in terms of his clients.
I'm sure also that, you know, the...
It says traveling with one of his clients to major events. So it sounds like he's always at like conventions and...
The Super Bowl.
Stuff like that. And the Super Bowl.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I wish... It's actually helped having the calendar in the kitchen that connects to my Google Calendar, but I wish Matt would use Google Calendar. That would make things easier.
You would wish that I use that calendar, period. I don't. It's
I know, it's very annoying.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's very stupid.
I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I'm just, my brain is like a fucking calendar, which is all the more reason I should be using a calendar.
Yep.
Here, let's just do 5 minutes of calendar time. What you're hearing is not the time timer. I lost both time timers, and I bought a replacement on Amazon with like this, I don't know, it was like the first one recommended.
He got an off-brand time timer.
It's basically by Sakura.
And it's enormous, and it ticks.
Could you imagine having like ADHD and having like you're on a task, but this is all you hear? No. Guys, what I'm saying is don't buy the first thing Amazon recommends. Use your eyes. Take a look.
Take a look, yeah.
Reading rainbow.
You know,
I can go anywhere.
Supposedly Time Timer has sent me a bunch of time timers, but I haven't been able to check my post office box all week because Holly took my keys.
I just bought two more time timers.
Oh.
You are not helpful sharing information. She knows I've lost my time timer. She is aware that I have this bought this giant tick, 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 tick.
I definitely told you that I was getting new
time
timers.
You told me that they were going to sponsor your podcast.
No.
Isn't that what they said?
No, they wanted us. We became Time Timer affiliates.
Oh, I see.
But I also...
You became Time Timer affiliates.
I told you that they were sending us stuff.
Yeah, but that stuff could have been anything. I know a guy in marketing who travels year-round, and that stuff could have been t-shirts.
Well, let me tell you something.
Could have been a hat.
Let me tell you something.
What if the Time Timer had a hat?
I don't think that there is such a thing as too many Time Timers.
It turns out, because I've somehow managed to lose two.
Exactly.
And if your sole purpose in the house is to help the person with ADHD figure out his life, things are going to get lost.
So... I think the fact that we might have more than two time timers in the house is not the worst thing.
I got one this size.
Wow, that's very large.
Because the little whiteboard thing was about this big. So I think I got like, if anyone listening would like to know what I'm talking about, I think it's, this is probably 8x8.
It's very big.
But I kind of wanted it that big because I thought it would be silent. It's not silent.
Yeah.
Probably could have just gone with the tiny one. Okay. Probably. Dory, what do you think? Should we continue or take a break?
I think we should take a break.
Good. Time timer, here we come.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're back, everybody.
Hello.
What's next on the agenda?
We have a voicemail.
Okay. Is this anything to do with time timers?
Hey, Shafrira. No. Oh. Happy New Year. Couple tips, couple feedbacks, responses to this week's episode as far as giving Bo cream cheese, causing heartburn. Have you tried the peanut butter?
Yes.
We have yes.
13-year-old senior dog who needs 4 pills a day, and she's doing great. but we just stick to loyal Petty peanut butter.
Oh, sure, yeah,
Amazon's
yeah.
Amazon's just peanuts. So we just dip the Teddy, toes in that and
New
put
England
them
staple.
On the floor and she eats them up.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be, you know, maybe more better on the old stomach, regular old peanut butter. And then the other thing is if you're trying to get around, never forget an office chair, you know, to go from room to room in your house at least or something. Push Dory around in the chair. We don't need a bad back from Matt trying to pick her up. I know I couldn't be picked up. Anyways, thanks for everything. Bye.
Thank you. Peanut butter, you know, normally you think that's a great idea, but it has, we've tried and failed. Mm-hmm. But recently I made the switch to a stinky provolone and, boy, oh boy, it smells so much that he can't tell there's anything in there.
Yeah. It's actually
gobbles it up.
It's been great. So,
and I can't tell if that's a step up from cream cheese or not. Like, is Bo like super psyched about this? I don't know. I guess provolone's a step up over cream cheese.
I think it is the stinkiness.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, his mouth waters, it starts bubbling.
Yeah. Smell is so pungent.
Yeah. But, you know, in a good way. I love a provolone. We only had it because I had it.
I know. All right. This is an email from Michael, who sent us a link to an ESPN.com story that has every team as a Disney World attraction.
Greg Wyshynski, Carolina Hurricanes ranking number one, and they are the equivalent of churros. They're not always right in front of you. You have to know where to find them, but once you do, the variety of flavors and absolute sugar high you get from them makes churros better than anything else in the park. Florida Panthers. Their ranking is number two. They are the Mad Tea Party. December 14th to the 18th, to the 8th, January 8th, the Panthers averaged 8.4 total goals in their games. Holy shit. They were 16-0-0 when leading after two periods and have rallied from a point in 5 of 12 games.
This is such a weird article.
Oh, Colorado Avalanche or Astro Orbita. Orbiter.
Orbita.
Orbita. Piloting a high-flying rocket ship to the stars until you realize your aforementioned rocket ship is tethered to a pole with a metal bar. You've always been unable to take off when it matters. In fact, you just keep going in circles. This is very 2001 Bill Simmons.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. In a very appealing way. I like it. Good premise. Way to go, Greg.
They say the Montreal Canadiens are the Bibbidi-Bobbidi Boutique.
God, how so?
They got to play dress up as a Stanley Cup contender for a few months, then watch their roster turn back into a pumpkin currently closed for renovations.
And our beloved Bruins are the Enchanted Tiki Room. You're wandering around trying to find your way. Is there anyone who can help you get back on track? You step into the Tiki Room and you realize that toque can groan.
Wow. Okay. The author is an NHL writer and included in his power rankings an attraction/ride experience at Disney that matched your team. I haven't heard Matt talk about hockey, so I wish this was baseball or football, but it's still enjoyable. And I'm curious as to Matt's feelings on the churro as the match for the top-rated team. That said,
the way he explained it, I thought, was good enough for me. It fell into the premise nicely.
Mm. Which things at Disney would Matt match for Dory, Henry, Bo, and himself, nannies/grandparents? And most importantly, is there an experience unique to Disney that matches the uncomfortable tzatziki incident? If we go there, this probably makes the whole email patron submission. That is an inside joke for Patreon supporters.
I forgot about that.
How could you forget about that?
I don't know. I think I blocked it out of my mind.
I mean, that's fair. This is from Michael Roth in 800 square feet in Manhattan with one wife, 1 9-month-old on day 2 of sleep training, and 1 Costco hot dog.
Nice. I like the premise. I need more time to think.
All right. We can come back to that.
I'd like to nap
on a later
Pirates
pod.
Of the Caribbean. So who is like Pirates of the Caribbean?
Hmm. All right. This is from Maria, who writes, "Dear Matt and Dory, a listener asked about your experience working with celebrities, and that gives me another excuse to email you. In 1975, I started working in the business affairs department at Lorimar Productions, producer of The Waltons, Eight is Enough, Dallas Being There, etc., etc. My desk was right next to the president's office, and TV and movie stars were regularly visiting. I was beside myself. After a few months, though, when I heard Robert Redford was on the lot, I decided it was too much trouble to walk outside and watch him shooting a scene. Not that I didn't revel in sharing with friends the endless outrageous stories that were told about the stars. After some years, I managed to claw my way to the middle and became director of merchandising. During the Who Shot JR hullabaloo, since Larry Hagman had approval rights for use of his photos, I saw him quite often on the set or at his home in Malibu. Considering that in 1980 he was, for real, the most famous man in the world, I have to admit I was pretty impressed with myself. As I type this, I recognize that many of your listeners, maybe you, have no clue about Dallas or J.R. Ewing or Larry Hagman. Your oldest listener, unless someone proves otherwise, Maria B."
You know what's funny, Maria, is Andy Secunda, out of college, interned at Lorimar, as did Laurie Ulster, who was my producer on After Trek. And that's Andy and her knew each other from that internship.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I haven't actually heard Lorimar in a couple of years. It's so funny that you brought that up. But yeah, I know Larry Hagman. Come on. Not Clem Fandango, the other one, had a Who Shot JR t-shirt on on Toast. The new Toast, not the old Toast.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something.
Yeah.
Director of merchandising. I wonder what kind of Waltons shit you guys made.
Sure, if you can tell us.
All right.
Well,
is that it?
Yeah.
Wow. Guys, what a ride.
What a ride this was.
What a beautiful ride.
And, you know, if you want to hear about the unfortunate tzatziki incident, etc., you can.
It's the hardest I've ever heard Dory laugh on a podcast, actually.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it was beyond the pale.
I had such a great time describing it.
You can support us at patreon.com/excellentadventure. If you support us at the $5 level or above, you get your name right on the podcast each month, plus one bonus episode. If you support us at the $10 level, you get two bonus episodes, and you get the entire back catalog of the Patreon episodes, which at this point is very robust.
So many back episodes.
So many back episodes. All right. Well, thank you to the following supporters.
Edwina Goodingham.
Edwina Morgan Bodo.
Elena Paling.
Eleanor Powell.
Elizabeth K.
Elizabeth Kamani.
Ellen F.
Emily F.
Emily Harden.
Aaron.
Aaron Gudge.
Aaron Turley.
Evelyn Schmemelin.
Frederick Raw.
Freya.
Gita Drury.
Greta Truitt.
Hannah Crowder.
Hillary Berry.
Jackie G.
Jane Ennis.
Jen Brennan.
Jennifer Sika.
Jennifer H.S.
Jennifer Steele.
Jenny Fick.
Jess Branch.
Jesse Hendricks.
Jessica Grigsby.
Jessica Manilovich.
Jessica is done with Jessica's. Jesse Fisher.
Jesse Labadee.
Janine H. Janan H.
Yep. Josephine W.
Julia Schulenberg.
Schulenberg.
I kept schuling it up.
Julie McLaren.
Julie Phillips.
Kane McCall.
Caitlin Donahue.
Karen Perelman.
Karen Thakershi.
Kat C.
Catherine Lene.
Catherine Shimmons.
Katie Allen. Katie Allen.
Katie Regan.
Kelly Zimmerman.
Carrie Mills.
Carrie L.
And Kim Mestra.
We did it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like more podcasts, don't forget to sign up for Patreon. If you want less podcasts, keep doing what you're doing. If you want more podcasts but don't want to sign up for Patreon, email us at Dory Matt Gmail or Matt and Dory Gmail. Okay, everybody. Bye.
Bye.